Will you listen to the word of God found in Exodus chapter 4? Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." And Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." The word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. That excerpt comes out of a story that's fairly familiar for those who know the Bible stories. You know how Moses had fled to the wilderness and was now tending the sheep of his father-in-law, and he saw the burning bush up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, the bush that was burning but not being consumed. And so he turned aside to go see such a thing. And God spoke to him out of the bush and said, "Put off your sandals, for the ground you stand on is holy ground." And God spoke to him and said, "I've seen all the troubles of my people in Egypt, and I'm sending you back to bring them out that they might come here and worship me on this mountain." And Moses' response is very much like most of us. His first response, "Who am I that I would be the one that you would pick to do that?" You know, he knew everything he was not. You know, he's like, I'm a murderer. I've killed people. I'm a fleeing felon. That's why I'm out here in the wilderness. I ran away. You know, all the different things. I'm not good. I'm not good enough at this. I'm not good enough at that. And all the excuses that all of you use. How many of you, if I were to ask you that, would you preach next Sunday? I looked right at Jeff, and right away he started. You know, I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. I don't think I could do it. You know, I'm not sure. All the excuses we use. You know, would you take over teaching a Sunday school class? Oh, I don't know enough. I'm not good enough. We all use those excuses. That's the excuse Moses used. Do you know who I am? Is what Moses is saying. And then God says, "You know, I've called you. I know all about you. It's okay." And then Moses' next response is, "I don't know who you are. I don't have your name. If I go back to Egypt and tell them you sent me, they're going to ask, who are you? What God do you represent?" Because, you see, Egypt has all kinds of gods, and all of them have names. You know, if you go back there and say, "My God sent me," "Well, what's your God's name?" "Well, gee, I don't know." They're not going to believe me. Because Egyptians knew the names of all their gods. Ra, the sun god, which Pharaoh got his name from, Pharao. You know, and so they knew the name of the sun god. And then Isis, you've probably heard the name of Isis. And then there was Apis, the bull. Apis was the one that they, in the wilderness later, they would, when they couldn't find Moses for a while, they made a golden calf to worship Apis. And Apis was really, his job was an intermediary to pray to other gods on their behalf. Kind of like what Jesus in reality does for us. So Moses said, "I need to know your name. I can't go back and tell them, you know, that just God sent me. They're going to want to know what God is it." And if you remember, when Jacob wrestled with God, he asked God to give him his name, and God didn't, but God gave him a new name. But now Moses says, "I need to have a name to tell them." And God responds and says, "I am. That's my name. I am." Everyone else is, "I am not, but I am." And when he would go back and say, "Yahweh sent me," Yahweh means he is. So when he said, "He is, has sent me," the God who is has sent me to declare this. And so he knew the name. But, you know, it's like, "I'm not worthy, even though I know your name that you are." They're not going to listen or believe me. You know, if I go back and tell them you sent me, and they're going to listen to my words, and they're going to say, "Just chatter. That's all it is just chatter." You know, a lot of people come talking about this kind of stuff, and that's all you are. It's just another thing that we've already got. I can remember a funeral service years ago. There was a sad, sad moment for me, for a person that sat in the back as we shared the person's life and everything, and the guy just sat there looking at the ground, just saying empty words, just empty words. He was a depressed individual his whole life, empty words. Moses said, that's what they're going to say if I go back. They'll just say empty words. And so God looks at him and says, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a staff. The staff was something that he'd been shepherding for 40 years. He may have picked that up 30-some years ago. I've got different walking sticks in my office. Maybe you guys have some walking sticks at home. Maybe you see there's all kinds of displays, especially, you know, if you go someplace like to the mountains and different places and all little gift shops, they have all these sticks that you can, walking sticks you can buy. And that's what it was for Moses. It was just a stick. It was something he knew. It was just something I picked up off the ground. I've been carrying it around for years and years. I've used it just to help go up and down these hills because I'm about 80 years old. I've used it to help steer, to get the sheep to go where I want them to go. I've used it to defend myself and protect my sheep. It's just a stick. It's a staff that I've got, God. And God says, throw it on the ground. And it turns into a snake. And Moses runs from it. I heard a story one time about somebody. They were camping someplace like with our Trail Life group or Boy Scouts or something. There was a whole group of them. And all of a sudden, one of them goes running through. And somebody says, what are you running from? And he said, well, I saw this stick, but I thought it was a snake. Well, then why are you running? He said, because the stick I picked up to hit it with was a snake. And I can remember when I was about 14, I was with the farmer I was helping. We were going down a dirt road, and I was riding on the back of the tractor. And we came, and in the middle of the road, there were two huge black snakes together. And he stopped, and he said, pick one of those up. So I got off, and you know, I'm trying to get around where I could kind of step on it to get it behind its head, you know, so I could control it and stuff. And he started yelling at him. He said, don't do that. You're going to get bit. Pick it up by the tail. I'm not picking up any snake by the tail. I kept trying and trying. And he kept yelling at me, you're going to get bit. Grab it by the tail. Finally, he got off. He grabbed the biggest one, which was about 7 feet long, picked it up by the tail. And he just slowly backed up when the snake was off like that. I went and got the other one, stepped on it behind its head to pick it up, almost got bit. Just like he said. But you know, I don't want to pick up any snake by the tail. I know they do that on TV, all the professionals. That's what they're professionals, and I'm a coward. You know, Moses, his stick suddenly becomes something he's carried in his hand for who knows how many years. Suddenly it's a snake. And then God says, pick it up by the tail. And when he grabbed it by the tail, it became a stick again. And God says to him, he says, now when they ask you, you know, if they say, you know, that, yeah, you might know his name, you might saw this. We don't believe that anything. Now you can demonstrate that power of God is real. So what's in your hand? What is it that you're carrying that God would say, throw it on the ground? And let God transform it so that people can see in your life that God is doing something. He has appeared to you. He has spoken to you. What do you have that you might have carried with you for most of your life that God wants to take and can show his power? What about your lifestyle? Someone who encounters God and comes to know his God, maybe it changes the way you live. Maybe it's your attitudes. Maybe it's how you use your possessions. Is that something God say, what's that in your hand? Maybe how you approach your work or your business changes. I've known people where some people would say, he's one of the crotchetiest, nastiest old men I used to know, but you know, he came to Christ and he's not anymore. His attitude, his lifestyle was something that God said, what's in your hand? And he gave it to God, and God turned it into something else to demonstrate who he was. I knew one person that was a barroom brawler, came to know Christ. And he said, you know, I was amazed when I stopped drinking how many people quit picking on me. His life changed. What's in your hand? What is it that God wants to use that when you wave it, that people know that the power of God, it's real in you? It's not just empty words, but it's God at work within you. The staff of Moses became something powerful enough that you know, that when he came, he showed it to the nation of Israel, and Israel responded and said, we do know, we can tell you've met with the Lord. And then he goes before Pharaoh, and you know, and he throws his stick down and it turns into a snake. Now, the thing is, you know, the devil has counterfeits for everything good that God does. Just like you might find a counterfeit bill, it's not quite right, but it's, people think it's real. Moses throws his stick down, it becomes a snake. Well, Pharaoh gets his magicians, they throw their sticks down, they become snakes, but then Moses eats his snake, eats their snakes. Now, when Moses picked back up his snake and it turned back into a stick, the magicians didn't have any sticks to pick up. They had nothing left. And after Moses uses that staff and waves it a couple times for the plagues, finally those magicians say, you know, this is only the finger of God. We cannot do this. This has to be God. Let God do his thing. What do you have in your hand that people will say, you know, this has to be the finger of God? Moses brought about the plagues by using the staff and waving it. And when they were trapped by the Red Sea, he waved it over the waters, and the waters parted. When they were in the wilderness and they were thirsty, he struck the rock, and water came forth to feed the multitude. And God looks at you and says, what's in your hand? What will you allow me to use in your life that I can reveal to the world who I am and the power and the grace and the glory that I have? You may still have concerns about answering God's call on your life. He's calling you to something. Moses still had concerns after he first saw the snake, and then it turned back to his stick. But God, you know, what he does is he says, you know, you're not going alone, Moses. I know you don't feel like you can speak well. I know you're nervous, but I have your brother Aaron to join you. And Aaron will speak on your behalf. You tell him what I'm saying, and he'll speak on your behalf. And Aaron also, his rod will represent me. And we are a body of believers, a community, a people of faith, and we are not alone. We have each other. That's been demonstrated through just some of the funeral services in the last couple weeks, or funeral service. You're not alone. People come because of who you are. You're not by yourself. God will go with you and bring people to support you. But you have to be faithful with what is in your hand. God wants to reveal himself into this world as confused and as messed up and as crazy as it is. We have to let him use what we carry. We need to be willing to take what seems common that we maybe have had for a long time and let it be transformed into a symbol of his power. Let us pray together. Lord, may you take what we hold and use it for your glory, for your purpose, to set this world free. In Jesus' name we pray.